Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Chris Kleindienst is the co-owner of Left Bank Books. Holland Saltzman is the owner of Novel Neighbor in Webster Groves. And Jennifer Alexander is collection development specialist with the St. Louis County Library. We'll also be asking you and the listening audience to give us your recommendations a little bit later in this program. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Well,
I learned something today just before you went on the air, and that is this is one of your busiest days, Tuesdays being a big day in the book publishing business. What happens?
Every Tuesday is when it is a release day. So we get new books in, anywhere from a few weeks before, or even the day before or the day of, that we have to hold until sell date, which is Tuesday.
I'll be darned. So your list may already be obsolete because new books are just coming out.
That's right.
We'll have to get back together again a little bit later. Chris Kleindienst, let me ask you, how difficult is it to put together such a list?
Oh, gosh.
I guess that means very difficult.
Yeah, it's like, where do you stop? I mean, yeah. I have a whole store full of books, many of which I love. So, and they come so fast that it's really hard to keep up with. But that's good news, you know?
Yeah, well, sure it is. And Jennifer, people read more in the summertime or less? Or?
Well, it depends. I mean, you might have less time to actually laze around and read, but you might take a vacation that is, if you're lucky, that's a sort of sitting around reading type of vacation. So some people do, yeah. And kids definitely have more time to read.
Is there a lot of material out there for kids, summertime, good summertime reading fair?
Sure. There's quite a few new releases that have been a lot of fun, and then there's some in series that are, like, book 7 will be coming out, and then the new Harry Potter script book's coming out at the end of July. So there's kids that are definitely pre-ordering and waiting for some of their favorite in a series that they're reading.
Jennifer, what differentiates summertime reading fair to, you know, the rest of the year?
Well, when I was thinking about this, getting a list of summertime reading, I think there's different kinds of summer reading. Sometimes you think of the normal beach read. It's like a fast-paced, you know, page-turning thriller or something, you know, fairly easily consumed. But then you also might use the summer to tackle something a little more weighty that you've been meaning to read that's a little more difficult to do because you have more time. So,
Chris, have you seen any kind of a trend so far this season yet?
The trend in my store has been really across the board. People are buying some of everything. I love looking each week to see, like, you know, was it more mysteries this week or more history? Science fiction was a big bubble for this past week for our store. But there's no real pattern. People read pretty much across the board.
What about the influence of e-books on this whole process? I mean, that's something I suppose you folks who own bookstores are not thrilled about, and yet it is here.
Well, you know, e-book sales are down significantly. They tend at this point to be mostly in the textbook area, which is a whole other story and an unfortunate direction for textbooks to go. But also maybe like genre. It's a great way for folks to do like romance, westerns, things that, you know, you maybe aren't going to keep. They're kind of really consumables, fast, you know, pulp fiction, if you will. But general fiction history, the big books, it's down. People are, you know, they figured out how they're going to use this ebook platform, and they're returning to print books, and it's just leveling out.
Holland, I hear all the time people say, I want to hold it in my hand, have that tactile experience.
Certainly, and I think that they thought, the people out there, thought that ebooks were going to be really big with kids and teens. And in our bookstore, we find the complete opposite. Overwhelmingly, kids come in, they want to page through it, they want to look at the cover, they're very visual, they want to see what their friend is reading and take it and lend it, and it's just a very exciting thing for them to have a physical book in their hands. And you do get the people that come in the store or probably the library as well that talk about they love the smell of books. And, you know, you don't certainly get that from the ebooks as well.
And a Kindle on the beach may be a little bit of a problem, too, with the sandal. Jennifer, how about the library experiencing?
At the library, we found that ebooks, and we've really expanded our ebook collection, that's almost driven more circulation in print books. And so it's kind of had it's a different effect, I think, than in bookstores. But yeah, we actually do a lot of circulation in both, and our ebook circulation continues to expand. but people still are reading the books too.
Well, let's, speaking of reading the books, let's get that these lists going. Each of you has brought a separate list, and it was interesting to see that, I don't know if you compared notes or not, but there's no reference. You did?
Just now.
Okay. Well, I'd seen the list earlier, and there's no no duplication of effort there. So we'll take one at a time. Chris, I'll start with you and work down the line here. What's your first recommendation?
Well, I thought maybe I'll lead off with my big heavy read, the one that you were alluding to, Jennifer, when people want to have the time to concentrate maybe on vacation and take on something weightier. It's an amazing first novel by Natasha Dion. It's called Grace, and it is it centers on the life of a runaway slave. It spans the Civil War period, so kind of before and during and after. It's huge, kind of. There are a few generations going on here, and what really struck me about this book was that it felt mythic. It felt like a Greek tragedy, and the characters just felt like archetypes in a way. Not flat, but just really like deep, like it leaves you thinking about things beyond the story, which is rich and very well written. Very impressive debut.
And which is what you want in a book, to make you think a little bit sometimes, except for those page-turners where you just want to kill some time, maybe. Jennifer, let's go to you. What's on your list?
Which is what I'm going to start with. Great. Is my page-turning thriller, Before the Fall by Noah Hawley. It's a book that's been getting a lot of buzz this summer. And the story is there's a private plane that takes off from Martha's Vineyard and crashes, and the people killed include a CEO of a cable news network and a high finance CEO is also. And the novel just goes through the investigation and trying to figure out what brought these people together, how there were two survivors, how they survived. And it's basically about the stories we tell ourselves about other people and about ourselves. It's really good.
We were comparing notes before we came in, and that was one that just didn't make it on my list. I loved it, and if we had six, it would have been on there. So at the last minute, so I thoroughly enjoyed that one as well.
Yeah,
you can't possibly read all of the books that come into your store. I mean, that's
no. Really
impossible. How do you choose which ones to read personally?
I think you rely also heavily on your staff. I mean, it is a group. It is a group effort for sure, which is wonderful because everybody likes different things, at least in our store. So you've got a cross range of who might want to read the heavy historical, who wants to read the kids, who wants to read the young adult. So that's helpful.
All right. Let's take, Honnold, let's take the first on your list.
Mine is The One in a Million Boy by Monica Wood. And this so far, I would even say, is my favorite of 2016 so far, which I don't say lightly. I had known this author who had written When We Were Kennedys and had enjoyed that book. And so I just kind of came to this one pretty open. And it was one of the most captivating stories that I've ever read. It's fiction about a 104-year-old woman named Ona who is in kind of has a boy who's coming to help her around her house about his father, his mother, and really it's their four stories. And it is, there's a story of loss, but that's hopeful. There's a crazy, she talks a lot about food. She's Lithuanian. And just throughout their interactions, I'm not someone who gets very emotional, but I had tears in my eyes when I closed the last page. It was brilliant.
The One in a Million Boy.
Yes.
Okay. Chris, let's go back to you, number two.
Well, I'll go on the other side of the extremes to Richard Russo's novel Everybody's Fool, which is a long, like a lot of time passed between Nobody's Fool, which he wrote many years ago, and some people remember it, the movie Nobody's Fool, but it was a novel. And he's revisited these characters, fast-forwarding to, you know, kind of present day and in the same upstate New York town that is, it did not reinvent itself after the industrial age. And it is sort of next door to the town that did, and it's, you know, constantly having its little face rubbed in its failure. But the characters, they're just wonderful characters. The same guy, Sully, who you don't even know how he has survived because he seems to care very little for his own personal health, a great character in the town sheriff, and they're just—it's just this wonderful, you know, humorous, a lot of sight gags, but just easy read with full of laughs.
The character's 25 years later after Nobody's
yes.
Fool, right?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. Well, we'll put that on the list. And that one is, I've got three lists going here. Everybody's Fool, right? Everybody's Fool.
Everybody's Fool.
Okay. Yeah. Jennifer, back to you.
Okay, for local interest, St. Louis Noir, this would be late summer reading because it doesn't actually come out till August 2nd, Tuesday.
It'll be a Tuesday.
And what it is this is a collection of 14 stories, and contributors are either St. Louis authors or people who had spent time here, and all of them are set in different neighborhoods in St. Louis. And it's just a wide variety of bad behavior, murder, assault, drugs, more murder, that sort of thing.
Set so. Right here in St. Louis.
Yes.
It's like reading the paper.
And it's edited by Scott Phillips, local author, and there's an introduction kind of about St. Louis, and there's a map showing the different areas because it's city, county, and East St. Louis as well. So it's
all
kind
right.
of fun.
Yeah, and the local touch right there. Okay. Holland, back to you.
My next one, it's a nonfiction. It is Your Song Changed My Life, from Jimmy Page to St. Vincent, Smokey Robinson to Hozier, 35 beloved artists on their journey, and the music that inspired it by Bob Olin.
And that wins the prize for the longest title.
Right, it certainly does. Yeah. But it's been a great one because I know if you want to kind of dip in and out of a book over summer, it's fun to read a nonfiction that might be a collection similar to what you were talking about with the St. Louis Noir that's coming out. And this has been fun. I'm a huge music fan. We have a great local music scene here in St. Louis. I am not musically gifted at all, but it's been fascinating to kind of read about, and it's a very diverse group of artists and, you know, just interesting stories about how Wilco's Jeff Tweedy, he discovered his sister's 45 of the Birds song, Turn, 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 and that became his starting point for a music career. And so if you've got any interest in music or just kind of want to kind of read a little bit here and there over the course of summer, it's been a lot of fun.
But you don't have to be musically inclined.
Not at all. It's just an interesting kind of look into, you just never know what starts someone on their path and their career. And so for this, it was just fascinating.
Have to take a break. We're talking summer reading recommendations with Chris Kleindienst from Left Bank Books, Holland Saltzman of Novel Neighbor and Webster Groves, and Jennifer Alexander from the St. Louis County Library. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation on reading recommendations with Jennifer Alexander from the St. Louis County Library, Holland Saltzman of Novel Neighbor in Webster Groves, and Chris Kleindienst of Left Bank Books. Okay, where are we? Is it back to you, Chris?
I think it is.
Is it? Okay, back to you. Go ahead.
Well, I would love to talk about a book that I discovered, Lab Girl, which is nonfiction. It's a memoir by Hope Jaron, who is apparently award-winning scientist. This is really a fun book because, first of all, she's a delightful writer. She has a great sense of humor. She explains the science that she does, how she came to become a scientist. She works with plants, trees in particular, very clear terms, and really brings it alive. You know, the life of a tree, almost like telling the biography of it and all the drama that occurs throughout its lifespan. But the other piece of it really makes this book compelling is it's more about her relationship with her lab partner, who they have worked together. His name is Bill, for their entire careers. He really reminds me of a real life, if you ever read Graham Simsion's Rosie
Project,
thank you. You'll understand that there's this really sort of eccentric scientist guy, a fictional character. This guy is really the real character and so enjoyable.
Some scientists have been known to be a bit eccentric.
Right?
So I'm told. There, I've just offended the scientific community. Sorry about that, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jennifer, let's try another one from the county library.
One thing that I like to do, well, if I have time, but is to tackle a classic that you've never read mm-hmm. in the summer. And one that I would recommend is Bridge of San Luis Rey by Thornton Wilder. It won the Pulitzer Prize in 1928. And it's a beautiful short book, and so that's also, I mean, you can get through it pretty quickly. And the story is just of a the bridge of the title collapses in 1714 in Peru, sending five people to their death. And a Catholic missionary who witnesses this decides to investigate their lives to see if he can find any meaning in the accident. And it's a really beautiful book. It has everything in it, love and jealousy and ambition. And it's a great book. So
it's made into a movie a couple of times, too,
yeah.
At least, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great story. I remember reading it many, many years ago. Holland, you're up next.
My next would be The Curious Charms of Arthur Pepper by Phaedra Patrick. And this was, not to play on the title, but one of the most charming books that I've read this spring. It is similar to if people have liked The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey or a few years ago Major Pettigrew's Last Stand, this would be the book for them. It's a story of a widower who is dealing with the loss of his wife. It takes place in this cute, charming countryside in England. And he is having a hard time reentering in his life without his wife. And he finds a charm bracelet that he never remembers her wearing as he's kind of going through her things. And something motivates him to decide to find out where each of these charms came from. So begins his journey sort of out of the house and moving on and tracking down. And it takes him far and wide. And he learns more about his wife than he thought he ever knew. And it's just lovely.
The Curious Charms of Arthur Pepper.
Yes. That sounds great.
All right. Back to you, Chris.
I would like to talk about Spool of Blue Thread by Ann Tyler, who was, I think, a finalist for the Man Booker on this. It came out last year, but it's new in paperback this year. So if you're looking for a paperback read, this would be a great choice. She must be one of the most underappreciated novelists writing today, I think. She writes mainly about people. Her settings are always her hometown of Baltimore. They seem like really sort of small, quiet stories, but there's so much in them. She has a great sense of humor. I think at one point somebody compared her to Mark Twain. I think that's not a stretch. But she is also just really has her ear on the American family in a way that so few writers do. And you cannot go wrong with her. It's a wonderful book.
That's quite a compliment to say it's not a stretch to compare it to Mark Twain.
No.
All right. That's A Spool of Blue Thread.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jennifer, back to you.
Earlier, Holland mentioned nonfiction that you can dip in and out of that you don't have to read cover to cover. And I have a book to recommend like that also. It's called 100 Years, Wisdom from Famous Writers on Every Year of Your Life. What these are, it's a collection of literary quotations gathered by Joshua Prager, and it's basically 1 to 100, and each page has a quote about being, you know, 25, 14, 72. So, and it's from all types of writers, Charles Dickens, Stephen King, Jane Austen, and it's just a fun book if you're in a gathering of people to say, hey, listen to this. Oh, yeah, I read that book. That was good. Or I don't think that's true. Or, you know, it's just really good.
Not depressing.
No, no.
You get up and do, okay.
Oh, no. There's lots of good stuff in there.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. And that is 100 Years Wisdom from Famous Writers on Every Year of Your Life. Right. I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Holland, back to you.
My next would be Sweet Bitter by Stephanie Danler. And this was a fictionalized account of Stephanie's experience of working in the restaurant industry in New York City, where she moved in her early 20s. And it first reminded me of a book I loved a few years ago called Sous Chef, that was a true memoir from Michael Gibney, or it was sort of his compilation of working behind the scenes in a restaurant as a sous chef over 24 hours. But this is her experience over the course of 1 year, and all the behind the scenes and stuff that I didn't know I wanted to know about, and maybe some stuff I was really surprised about. But it's entertaining. It's a little racy. It was a fun read that I finished in 2 days.
I think she was on with Terry Gross a week or two
was.
Ago. Yeah, it sounded most interesting.
It is.
And racy, I think, might be an understatement.
Yes. You might blush a little when reading it, but thoroughly entertaining and makes you look at the staff when you walk in a restaurant in a whole new way.
I think we've just sold a lot of her books. We shall see. Okay, it's back to Chris.
Well, I am going to recommend a debut novel, The Girls by Emma Klein. I've been reading a lot of debuts lately and also a lot of novels that put young women in the center of the story, which is really great. These girls, that I'm not ruining it to say, it's basically loosely based on the Manson story, Charles Manson and murders, but it isn't about that. And that whole issue is sort of back off stage for the entire novel. The story is really about these girls, and they become sort of loosely affiliated with this little group of hippies in the woods. And it's very well written. It's incredibly perceptive. It's mainly what we're doing in this book is really looking at how girls come of age and how they become autonomous agents in their own lives, and how they make choices, and how friendships form, unform, reform, very perceptive. That happens to be the setting, so it's got a kind of creepy edge to it throughout, but it's pretty true, timeless observations.
What is the Manson connection? Just the same type of group?
Yeah, they actually, it is a fictional version. I mean, that murder essentially has happened. It's not historical fiction. It's inspired fiction. So it's not the Manson murders. It's a similar kind of thing at the same time. But it happened. It's over with. The woman is looking back, who had become friends with these girls and kind of part of the group. And it's really about their lives. But you know that's a thing, and you know they were involved somehow. But it doesn't happen in the book.
For those who don't remember, Charles Manson and his crew murdered Sharon Tate, the then wife of film director Roman Polanski, back in the 60s.
Yes.
Quite a case that was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the book Helter Skelter, I think, came as a result of that.
Yes.
But that's going back a few years. Anyway, let's move on. Jennifer?
I would like to recommend the three books by Marilyn Robinson. It's not a series, per se. There are three standalone novels, Gilead, Home, and Lila. But they all feature the same characters and have overlapping time periods. So it covers the same things from different perspectives. And they're really beautiful books. And this is kind of for slower, more contemplative reading. Not a lot of action, a lot of thinking. And they've been out for a while, but it's something that you can tackle if you've got some more time.
Okay. And the name of that again is that Gilead Home? And
Gilead Home and Lila by Marilyn Robinson.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's five nice recommendations there from Jennifer. All right, Holland, back to you.
Okay, I cheated on my last one and included a children's book because I love children's books so much. And so this one is a chapter book, but it's loosely a chapter book. So if you've got some early readers, it's great because there's lots of illustrations. And it's called The Wild Robot by Peter Brown. And he has done some of my favorite picture books, such as Creepy Carrots and Children Make Terrible Pets. And so I was really excited to see what he was going to do with his first chapter book. And it is about a robot that inadvertently lands on a remote desert island. And so it's the survival. There's no emotions to a robot, but it's, you know, you come to find out it's a she robot, or that's what there's just lots of funny things about how she interacts with animals. It's a great read aloud. So if you've got some time in the summer to read aloud with your kids or even grandkids, it's not a super long book, but just because of, you know, I think I read one review that talked about they compared it to Hatchet, but I think it's way less serious, you know, even though it does have sort of the survival and this sort of unknown being coming to this happy little island where all these animals interact and how she creates her own place here. And I just loved it.
How are kids doing in the reading department these days? With all the gadgetry that's out there, are they reading more or less? Is there any sense of that from any of you?
The ones who are coming in your store are reading. I mean, so we're sort of influenced by the, but I mean, I think that, you know, we work with a couple of the local libraries and, you know, some of the children's book events and things like that. And I mean, kids are falling in love, and you know, whether it's early chapter books or they're, you know, have the picture book that they've read 30 times, stronger than ever because there's so much more for them. When I was growing up, you know, you didn't have the choices that you do now.
Yeah. You're saying the same thing, Chris.
Yes, it's there's so much literature out there for kids and young adults that is the quality is incredible. And I do think that screens are just one of the things people spend their time on. And I'm sure there are plenty of kids who grow up with very little besides a screen in their face. But, you know, we see them and there's a lot of enthusiasm. I think it's really a way to connect. It's a social activity.
Right. And the culture of sharing information about books and sharing your enthusiasm, you know, these are my favorite books, these are mine. And so I think that helps too.
We have some time left. Let's get some listener comment on and recommendations, if you will. We'll start with the phones and Marilyn calling from St. Louis. Marilyn, thank you for waiting. What's your recommendation?
Yes, Don. I am listening to a book right now, which is just wonderful. It's called All the Light We Cannot See, by Anthony Doerr, D-O-E-R-R, and it follows the lives of two young people, one a blind French girl who lives in France, and a young German boy, and it takes place during World War II, during the French occupation. It's beautifully written, wonderful metaphors, and just a heart-rending story. So I highly recommend this.
All righty. Well, thank you for the call. I noticed some affirmation here at the in the studio with that.
Yeah, that has been on the bestseller list for over a year now, and it's
in
hardcover.
Almost two,
and it's still in hardcover because it still sells so well. People are saying it's the favorite book they've ever read. It is a great historical fiction. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Almost 2 years on the bestseller list.
Right,
I mean,
right.
That doesn't happen very often, does it?
No. It's happening more, though. Things are long, like the life-changing magic of tidying up. That was another one that was on the bestseller list for
Girl on the Train.
I think it's been on for quite a while.
Girl on the Train. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's very impressive to hear numbers like that. We'll take another call. Dennis joins us from Overland. Dennis, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I'll do this quickly. The Neapolitan novels, I got a feeling your people have probably read them. It's one of the few times there's four books, and I don't know that I've ever yelled at a book because I was mad. But I had to read them, and then I read them again because I knew I was going to miss. And the other book, the other book that I read was the Brothers, which, of course, is the political John Foster and Alan Dulles.
Oh, yeah.
And then an old-timer, and then I'll let you guys go, is The Second Handshake. And I read it about 30 years ago, but I always suggest it to people. Anybody from about 50 years to 100 years old will appreciate that. That was by Will Fowler talking about his father, Gene. So at any rate, I'll leave you to that.
Thank you. That relates to no one sitting in this studio, let me tell you that, Dennis.
Sorry.
But thank you for the call. Agree? You are familiar with the Neapolitan novels, of course.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are great, and I actually recommended them at another rate, probably over the holidays, I'm thinking. The writer, Elena Ferrante, it's a nom de plume, and no one knows who she really is.
Right, so there's like a mystery around.
But they're fantastic. Talk about the relationship between girls and women, amazing. And, you know, it's post-war Italy, set in a very poor community in Naples. It starts with these girls at like 8 years old, and by the last novel, it's their whole friendship,
really?
Their whole lives.
Uh-huh.
My Brilliant Friend is the title of the first one, if someone's wanting to start that series. And we did it for book club a couple of months ago. And it was a very divided discussion in a really great way because there's a lot of unlikable people, but it's so well written. And, you know, you just get a taste a little bit, I think, of what Italy must have been like.
Should you start that series at the beginning, or can you join it anywhere?
You need to start with the book one.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a tweet here from Sarah who writes that she's reading all of the Harry Potter books because they are online. I'm a little surprised that they're online already.
I don't know what she means by that.
I wonder if
you mean e-book?
Well, maybe that's what she means.
Huh.
I mean,
yes, let's hope she came by them through legal means.
A lot of that going on?
I'm sure there's some, but
well,
which is interesting because Harry Potter actually is starting to release illustrated copies. I mean, people are really enjoying reading it, not only in the original form, but each October now they're rolling out the same book, book one, with these gorgeous illustrations, who I can't think of his name right now, but they're these almost coffee table size, but it's fun to, a new way to introduce and read Harry Potter together with your family.
Well, that brings to mind something else I wanted to bring up, and that is the growing popularity of the graphic novel. Am I right in saying that is a growing popularity?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I wonder why. Easier to read?
I think a little bit, but I also think they might cover some heavier topics in a more accessible way, and it gives some opportunities for discussions that children can then bring the picture to say, hey, I was reading about this, or can I show you this, as opposed to just a book that's full of nothing but text. So I know that that's what I've heard back from some of the people who've done graphic novels, because a lot of times parents are reluctant, but it's a great way to get maybe a reluctant reader to kind of move ahead and jump ahead in summer, because that way they're learning words along with pictures, which helps them understand easier, and it just moves them along.
And I think in terms of the adult genre, it's very rich. It's really matured, and I think you're combining kind of a literary tradition with sort of comic books, you know, that have been considered all these years as lowbrow. But what has happened with this hybrid is some really sophisticated books. So, you know, all over the spectrum. And it's not just fiction. There's nonfiction. It really is its own. It's kind of its own world now.
Yeah.
And it's the quality is amazing.
We have a little less than 2 minutes left. And along these lines, we have a tweet from Kelly. Says she's recently read Alison Bechdel's graphic memoir, Fun Home, ahead of the musical version coming to St. Louis this November. It's a good intro, she says, into reading graphic novels.
Oh, yeah. Alison Bechdel is one of the most brilliant graphic, memoirists of all time. I think she's really, really brilliant, and that would be an accessible way for somebody to check out that genre if they haven't.
All right, we have a minute left. We have two emails here. I'll mention La Rose by Louise Erdick and a tweet from Caitlin, Wisdom of the Desert by Thomas Merton. Any thoughts about that? Are you familiar with them? And if so, do you recommend them?
Well, I'm a big fan of Louise Erdrich. I have not read La Rose yet. It is just out, but she is Minneapolis-based Native American author. She has her own bookstore in Minneapolis as well, which is one of my favorite bookstores ever. She's a really, really good writer, takes on big picture stuff and
grim,
beautifully.
Usually.
Yeah, it's... Yeah,
it's not easy.
Yeah,
heavy.
Yeah. But it's worthwhile.
Yes, worthwhile. Right, worth it.
We'll have to let it go at that later. Well, thank you so much. A very fast hour here, or part of an hour anyway. Chris Kleindienst, thank you for being with us. Of
My
Left
pleasure.
Bank Books, Holland Saltzman of Novel Neighbor in Webster Groves, and Jennifer Alexander, the St. Louis County Library. Thank you all so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.